All right. It's, you know what? It's Friday. Let's just do this. It's the news, according to me. Good morning. It is Friday morning, I believe, as far as I know. And I think everything's working right here. Only the buttons pushed. I had a little hard time getting started this morning for some reason. Pushing buttons and making levers and switches. It's all switches, levers, and dials. That's all it is here. I just constantly flipping switches, moving levers, looking at dials, turning them back and forth. The highly trained professional in switches, levers, and dials. Other than that, I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not an epidemiologist or a virologist. I'm not an entomologist or a meteorologist. I'm just a guy. That probably is something, and I don't know what it is. And now I'm saying it's probably going to get sued for saying I'm just a guy, whatever I said there. So I can't even say it. So I really can't be one. I certainly can't spell it. So welcome aboard. If this is your first time listening, this is the show where I tell you what's in my cup, and then we move along with my opinions on stuff that's going on. And right now, there's stuff going on. I don't know if you've paid any attention whatsoever. There's stuff going on. Yesterday I didn't have a show. I was going to have a show early in the morning, and decided not to do that. I was on the boat yesterday morning, and I thought I'd get up and do the show on the boat. Well, it's always a little bit wonky and cantankerous, and I don't necessarily have really good Wi-Fi there sometimes. Yesterday probably would have worked okay, but I can't ever count on it. It's hit and miss. Sometimes it's running, sometimes it isn't over there at the marina. So I opted not to because I had many other things to get done. You're on a boat. You own a boat basically because of because you're buying a to-do list. That's what it is. It should be called a floating to-do list, not a boat. Maybe that's in some other language. I think in Svenskan, where boats were invented. I'm making this stuff up, by the way. They had a floating to-do list, and they just called it that's what the name of it was. In their language, it was boat. They just transferred over to boat for us. We have a lot of things to cover. The whole FBI Merrick Garland thing, you guys kind of, if you've been watching the show, if you've been listening, actually listening to the show, you know how I feel about the FBI. The day that the raid happened, happened to be the day that morning I did a show about the corruption in the FBI. And this is a serious, this is called top law enforcement in the country here. And it shows you the kind of Gestapo, Stasi kind of situation we're moving into here very rapidly. And I would contend that in those situations, much like when Hitler was coming to power and all the things that were happening there, when the fascists come into power, they don't think they're the fascists. It's the weirdest phenomena where the fascists actually believe they are the anti-fascists. They're stomping out those who would oppress them with morals and laws. And they have this phony sense of morality that is an anti-morality that they have to shove in your face and pretend like they're more virtuous than you are. This is what was going on in the Hitler economy of Germany at the time. If you didn't go along and toe the line and say the right thing, say it the way we want you to say it, well, guess what? You're an enemy of the state. And of course, they would say, you're an enemy of the people. Well, what people? The people at the top, the people in charge. Because the collective mindset is for the greater good of society. And we're going to tell you what that greater good is. We're going to regulate that for you and tell you how you're supposed to, not just supposed to, but you will comply. or you'll be excommunicated, put in a concentration camp, and sent off to work on the shower stalls. I got at least one clip here I want to play. There's some other things. Anthony Brian Logan, ABL, he had a really interesting little short the other day on YouTube. I don't really like these shorts. They're trying to be TikTok or whatever they're trying to be. I don't know what they're trying to be with these little shorts. And they just keep, you know, they keep playing over and over and over when you click on them. The problem with it is I want to watch some content, and now you've got multiple videos people are putting out that, which is, it's fine, works, but it's one of those things where it gets annoying sometimes. Why don't they just have a separate channel, something else that they do with the, all, if you just want to watch shorts, just go to the shorts channel or something. ShortTube, I don't know, they call it, it's called something else. It gets in the way a lot of times. And of course, it's one of those things where people get addicted to it because you'll play one, then you'll go to the next one, you go to the next one, you go to the next one. The next thing you know, you're just watching the same ones over and over because they all lead to the same place and they all start going to the same people doing, you know, the... Ever put YouTube on autoplay for very long? Put autoplay on and it will always go back to MSNBC, CNN, you know, all the late night talk show hosts that are left. It always goes to the left. Never fails. So this FBI thing, I think there's a whole lot of stuff going on and a whole lot of angles on this thing, all of which I have not decided on what is actually happening here. But I will talk about each of these perspectives. And maybe we will get some clarity as time goes on as to what's really going on here. But there are so many different angles of this thing. Now, you know that they were war rooming this thing. And by that, I mean they were playing out all the different scenarios. Somebody in a room with a group, probably several different groups, playing out all the different scenarios. Okay, if we do this, then how is this going to play out? How is the right going to respond? How are the Trump supporters going to respond? How are we going to respond back to that? How are we going to play this out? What are we going to say? What's the narrative going to be? They do this stuff, by the way. This is, you know, when they only have a 2 or 3 hour show on, they get the other 5 hours are trying to figure out how they're going to do this. The words that they're going to say, the words they're going to use, the trigger words, the phrases. That's why, you know, you see these montages of all these, you know, reports where they use exactly the same phrase or exactly the same word structure in a sentence. And you'll see 50 or 60 different news broadcasts, and they all use the same terminology. The walls are closing in. That's a very minor one. They used that one for how many years that were those walls closing in on Trump? Apparently, he's got a lot of walls, apparently. He's still walking around. As well, he should be. The FBI, of course, now, of course, Merrick Garland came out to stand up for the FBI now because there's been an attack on an FBI facility in Cincinnati. Who is this attacker? Did they catch him? No. What kind of attack was it? Well, he came in and made some threats and then ran away in the visitor center. This is highly suspect. But it is one of the angles that I've got on this thing is that this is what they want. They are hoping. See, all they need to get public sentiment on their side is for some militia group or some wacko, quote, wacko, you know, like a federal agent, to all of a sudden decide to attack the FBI. People in this country are a little bit weird about this. I have to say, I saw this happen during the whole Gretchen Whitmer thing. she garnered a bunch of sympathy because of the individuals who were now found to be innocent, because it was all entrapment, it was all the FBI's idea to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer and do some kind of a phony court thing in Wisconsin. It's just this weird thing. You're going to kidnap her in Michigan, take her to Wisconsin, have this weird court thing, find her guilty, and then, you know, whatever. I don't know. Which, you know, I have no question she's a criminal. Don't get me wrong on that. But the way they were going about it was all wrong. It's one of those weird things where they did it. People that I would talk to about Governor Whitmer. I live near I live very close to Michigan, and I have a lot of friends in Michigan. But I would be in discussions with people about different things, especially mostly online and social media and stuff. But it was, I'd make a comment about what was going on with what she was doing. It had nothing to do with the kidnapping, just the way she was governing. So then they would always bring up, well, they tried to kidnap her. So? What does that have to do with how bad of a governor she is? Does that mean we have to go along with her? But that is what happens. It's this weird phenomena. Now, unfortunately, I say unfortunately, I don't know if it's fortunate or not. I don't know. Depends on what you believe about fortune. But here's the kicker on this. This is going to work in Trump's favor with independents. There are probably some people who are on the fence about Trump, and now they realize, hey, this is, you know what, just out of spite, I vote for this guy. I'm going to get behind this guy because, you know what, this FBI thing, this administration, these radical leftists are out of control. Now, here's a couple of scenarios. I don't have these written down or anything. I'm just kind of off the top of my head thinking through these. One, and I almost don't doubt that there's something to this. That President Trump, or if we're going to call him former President Trump, could possibly have walked off with some documents that will blow wide open all of the Hunter Biden stuff, or possibly the FBI's corruption, or something even, you know, deeper than that. I don't know. Knowing that the FBI went in there and searched through the entire house, got into that safe, just the whole thing really reeks of an intimidation, harassment type, mafia-esque almost kind of raid. They were there for 10 hours. They gave no audit of what they took. No inventory. No, nothing. They just took stuff. Wouldn't allow the lawyers to be in the room. Now, they did not turn off the security cameras, interestingly enough. Trump has all that. They wanted them to turn off your security cameras. Why? What in the world is going on here? A couple of things that really bother me. One is this whole idea that they believe Trump might have some incriminating evidence, and the FBI needs to go in there and get it out because they need to know what he knows. This is paranoia. This is the kind of thing that brought down Nixon. Well, I shouldn't say Nixon. It brought down, well, it did bring, it ultimately brought him down, but it brought down the Republican the GOP, that they were so nervous about what the Democrats might have in that cabinet that they had to bust into at the Watergate Hotel. Because there was no way they were going to lose the election. This is what was weird about it. They were going to win. And they pulled this stunt where they had to know what was going on with the Democrats. We have to know what's happening over there. We're concerned they might have an October surprise. So they went over and busted into this file cabinet. And guys went to prison for it. G. Gordon, G. Gordon Liddy, and what was the other guy's name? Started a prison ministry after that. He actually, Colson, Chuck Colson, is it Chuck Colson? Yeah, I think it's, actually turned out to be he had a genuine experience with, I mean, the guy actually came around. Like both of them turned out to be very well reformed after all that happened. G. Gordon Liddy had his own radio broadcast after that, and for years, it was extremely good. The amazing thing to me through the whole process, this whole thing, is how people get paranoid, and it causes them to react or act out in ways that they would not otherwise do. Now, with the FBI, I believe that they are paranoid. The people at the top. Look at what happened to them through the whole Peter Strzok, Andy McCabe thing. Nellie Orr, who... my question to the FBI, if I had Christopher Wray there, I don't know if anybody's ever asked the guy, is Peter Strzok still on the payroll of the FBI? Did he get moved to another agency? Where is the guy now? What is he doing? Well, I can't answer that question because there's an ongoing investigation. Whatever. They can't ever answer any questions. So all the stuff before Congress, all they end up doing is making statements that imply things, which goes nowhere. Unless you're the January 6th committee, and now all of a sudden we have subpoena power, and by golly, if you don't, you know, go along with it, we're going to perp walk you and send you to prison for not complying with this phony kangaroo court thing that they've got going on. It's not a court. Subpoena power for what? They're not judges. They're not the judicial branch. They're sending people to prison from the legislative branch. Legislative house. They're from the House committee. They write their own laws over there. This is the kind of out of control baloney that we've got going on here. They are attacking political opposition. This has got to come to an end. It's just these people, at the very least, they need to be stopped. But this is criminal what they're doing. So Merrick Garland yesterday comes out and makes his little statement about what I'm following the law and it's no one is above. He didn't say no one is above the law, but by golly, he implied that everyone, you know, we apply the law equally to all people. Yeah, okay, yeah. Cry me a river on that one. And then he came out with this, like he was really upset that they were attacking the FBI. He was standing up for the people are making threats against the FBI. Oh, so sorry, Mr. FBI. What, the FBI started this. See, who was it that broke into someone's home, rifled through everything in the house, looking for what? We don't know. This is an attempt, when you do that, by the way, I guess there was a former FBI agent who was interviewed yesterday. I didn't get to see the interview, and he was going to explain why they would have gone through Melania's clothes. Now, you know, and of course, the whole thing was they went through her clothes and they just dumped them on the floor. They dumped everything out, left everything in disarray. This is not an investigation. This is not a search. This is intimidation. This is subterfuge. This is the kind of thing where you do to scare someone, to upset their life. Now, there's a theory that I have, one of the theories that I've pondered on. They're trying to get Trump to react. They want him to do something irrational. Like throw a tantrum or do something crazy or act out in some way. Now, Trump can do and say a lot of things, and they, you know, like supposedly throw his suit up against the wall. I don't know if that ever happened or not. It's just this is the monster that they want to see him as, this big baby monster that just throws a tantrum all the time. You know, people who, well, I'm not going to go into that. This guy is, he's not going to go there. He's not going to fall for this. He finally has some good lawyers, at least on his side, where that they're actually doing some decent things. And hopefully he gets the right kind of counsel and gets this all straightened out. But it's, you know, that whole, there was a civil suit that he was up against, some kind of deal too. And now he's going after CNN and MSNBC with defamation lawsuits. I believe CNN especially is the main one. He could end up burying them with this lawsuit if he wins. I don't know if he's going to get a judge to even rule at all. He's got a good case, and it's, we'll see how it happens with that. But that's beside the point. In the meantime, something's up, because the FBI is concerned that they know that he knows something, and they want that information. That's one of my theories. That's why they were going in there, to get whatever documents he might have had that would put them at risk. Somebody at the top. Now, on the other hand, a couple things that have come out during this whole thing is that, well, the president didn't know anything about this. Oh, Schumer didn't know anything about this. Oh, Nancy Pelosi didn't know. She just heard about it. She saw it on her phone. She saw it on the news. Didn't know what's going to happen. The words I would like to say right now about that, I just don't have, they don't come out of my mouth. But I'll leave it up to your imagination. The kind of expletives that want to fly out of my mouth. But I'm trying to control my tongue. There are no official communications, probably, between Schumer, Pelosi, Biden, or the people running Biden's administration, between Merrick Garland, the FBI, Christopher Wray, and this whole event. However, there are back channels, folks. They have ways of communicating. And this is James Comey almost let this kind of go transparent at one point. The way they get things out to the press, well, I'm not going to give it to the press, but I'm going to give it to someone else to give to the press. That's a very small sliver of, that's a little peek into how they do things here. They have friends. Well, I told my friend who has certain kind of security clearance. Well, that friend who isn't obligated, you know, that person can talk to Merrick Garland or one of Merrick Garland's people. And that person has the same kind of security clearance, and they can talk to each other because they have a certain kind of communication indemnity. They can get off by doing that. They're free to do that. That's what I'm trying to say. And in the process, then they can communicate that back to the people that matter. They have the ear of Merrick Garland or the AG, and then they have the ear of whoever else. They knew this was going to happen. You can tell by the way they react to it, because they have a phony, canned response. And they both said the same thing. I just heard about it when everybody else heard about it. But just like when Obama would say, well, I just read about it in the newspaper like everybody else. Oh, you just sit around with your morning coffee reading the newspaper? That's what you do? The President of the United States gets up in the morning, sits around, reads his newspaper, has a cup of coffee. The White House chef brings him some eggs, scrambled eggs. He reads his Bible and prays, I'm sure, as his devotional time, because he's such a devout Christian. He mentioned his Savior, so many times when he was in office, Obama did. He was one of those religious Jesus freaks, practically. Spoke of him so often, this person who saved his soul and who he owed his whole entire life to, for saving him from Islam. Right. Yeah. You ever heard his testimony? It's powerful. Obama's testimony, his powerful testimony, how he converted from Islam to Christianity. It's a powerful testimony. You should look it up sometime. Let me know what you think in the comments. Good luck finding that. We have a serious situation here with the FBI. So what ends up happening, the other side of this thing is they went into this house for 10 hours. Now, I was told initially, the first night I was told there was at least 50 agents. Now, the people on the ground there are saying that there were 30 agents. There were 25 to 30 agents actually in the house. That's where the confusion comes in. There were other agents standing around. What's scary about this is they were holding off the perimeter. They had long guns, keeping people from coming too close. What were they exactly expecting here? This is just like when they went after Roger Stone. This is all for the camera. Again, don't forget, Kevin's School of Observation, Political Theater. This is Political Theater 101. We must present this idea that we are coming in with force because it's a serious, violent thing that we're protecting you from. Why would you? You've got Secret Service there on the premises. Which brings up another issue in the midst of all this. Is there a mole? Is there an informant working in the Trump home? It's possible that there is. I kind of doubt it. But look at Cassidy Hutchinson. The comments that she was making about the January 6th committee, the derogatory nature that she had towards them and how phony and fake the whole thing was, and then all of a sudden she's testifying something to the effect of, I heard that they said this. I heard that they said that. Something to the effect of, all of a sudden she's testifying, she's getting hugs from Liz Cheney, who is telling us that the president sent an armed, angry mob down to the White House, or down to the Capitol building, to break in and overthrow the election. Which, this whole thing is setting up Trump to look like a common criminal with the raid and everything else. Here is the epitome. This is Anthony Brian Logan. I want to play this clip because I think it's just so telling. When you start asking questions, and I don't like to argue with people so much. I like to ask them questions. Well, I don't mind arguing. I'll do that too. It usually doesn't go anywhere. It's just kind of, interesting sometimes. My wife doesn't like me to do that, but it's one of those things. But this is the guy. So this guy asks him, sincerely asks him some questions. And when you start to question these people, that's when it starts to become very obvious that, I think you're, I think you're full of beans here, folks. Let's listen to this guy, and this is what he says.
To arrest a former president for not turning in documents?
Well, I don't know of any other former president that had committed this many provable criminal acts.
But what are the provable criminal acts, I guess?
Provable criminal acts. Well, I'm done talking.
He's done talking. I'm done talking. What are the provable criminal acts? Well, there's no other president that's committed this many provable criminal acts. And that's exactly what I told you they were going to say. Well, this has never been done before. We've never raided a former president's home. Well, because we've never had a former president who's committed these kind of crimes. What crimes? What crimes? Provable? I don't want to talk to you. That pretty much epitomizes the left and the way they act and the way they're acting out in this whole process. Now, Merrick Garland, if you look closely at the speech he made yesterday, this speech was designed from the ground up. It's a psyop. That's what it is. The left is very, very good at manipulating the left. His speech was basically had emotional content to it. Now, he didn't say anything. Didn't tell us anything we didn't already know. If you just listen to the news broadcast, everything he told us was everything we already know. Now, he signed for a release of the warrant. I don't think it was a release of the affidavit. You see, for a warrant to be issued by a judge, if you do it right, there has to be an affidavit, has to be probable cause, all this stuff has to happen. And you have to have a reason for doing a bust-in warrant type thing where they can go in under force like this because they're concerned that he's going to destroy something, going to destroy evidence before they get to it. Evidence of what? Well, I think they were afraid that he was going to hide something. Now, I guarantee you, if Trump has evidence on the FBI or on some political stuff that happened, whether it's Hunter Biden, whether it's no matter what it is, that's going to blow something wide open. If he does have evidence of something that they're trying to retain, I guarantee you, he has it in a place that only he knows about. Because I know that Trump does not trust anybody with this stuff. He wouldn't even he's not going to give it to his son. He's not going to tell his son or Melania what's going on. The closest people in his life, he's not going to tell it because he's endangering them. He knows exactly what he's up against here. He was building homes. He was building buildings in New York. He's built buildings in some of the biggest cities in the country. If you don't think he's had to deal with mafia types, thugs and criminals of white collar ilk, if you don't think he has some street smarts about how they operate, he knows full well the kind of people he's dealing with here. He was one of them for a while. He was back when he was a Democrat. They would clamor all over him. The left would clamor over the guy, thinking he's one of us. Until he ran as a Republican. So there's this whole aspect of the thing of what does he have? What is he hiding? What are they afraid that he has? Now here's another angle on this whole thing. They may have actually planted evidence. Now they gathered up a bunch of stuff and took it. Some people say 10 boxes. Some people were saying more than that. Some people were saying up to 50 boxes of materials. It busted into the safe. My understanding was that the padlock that was actually on the door of the room that had all these documents in it, apparently it was the FBI's own lock that they had come in and put on back in June when they were there to properly secure the documents that Trump had, artifacts and documents. I think he had a letter from Kim Jong-un or Kim Jong-un, who was the guy, the rocket man, some of the other people that, so he had all this stuff in there that he wanted to keep as his own stuff, and he wants it to go into the presidential library and wanted to make sure it was in his possession. And that's perfectly legal for him to do that. Now, if he took documents, see the problem with this is it all falls under his authority as president. He can take this stuff. This is where they're running into trouble with this. And he did return a bunch of boxes back in June April or June happened. He'd been working with them on some things like that. So now they decide to get the FBI to bust into his house with a warrant that they never showed him, really. They flashed it in front of a lawyer, she said, from about 15 feet away. She never got a copy of it, never got to read it. They didn't have any kind of list of things that they were actually going after. There have been a lot of lawyers have talked about this whole process and how this is really, they've really stretched beyond the law on this. And there, of course, the news media on the left is all just going crazy over this whole thing, saying, oh, yeah, the FBI did this. They're coming. The walls are closing in now. Well, they may very well be. If you look at this and how corrupt this whole thing is. Now, they're going to say they found something in one of the boxes. Or the other side of it is, they may very well have planted listening devices. Or even cameras. The FBI has been known to do this. Law enforcement has done this in the past. They'll go into a place and actually play. They've done this to the mafia. They've done this to different organizations. They've done this to criminals that were under suspicion. They'll go in and place listening devices in the. They'll get a warrant to do something. They go in. This is SOP for them. Standard operating procedure. Place listening devices or even cameras. Or data collection devices on computers. I wouldn't trust anything in that building now. Anywhere in that building, I wouldn't do anything or say anything, do anything. I wouldn't get on the Wi-Fi in that building whatsoever. I would not do anything there. So there's a lot of different angles to this. The FBI may have actually calculated, okay, what if we can stir people up enough to get some reactions, get some militia, get some wackos out there, some Proud Boys to do something like, some kind of serious attack on the FBI. We can only hope that they'll do that. That will give us justification. See, these people are criminals. They're against the state. Yeah. Who started it? What else are we supposed to do here, folks? Oh, yeah, we're just supposed to sit here and roll over and just assume that you're doing your job correct. See, this is the state of Indiana actually passed a law about, 10 years ago. It's been a while. And I think it should be a federal law. They passed a law that said, if you are in your home and an officer comes into your home illegally, unlawfully, doesn't present the warrant, doesn't give you probable cause, reason for being there, the whole thing, doesn't execute the warrant properly, just comes into your home, you have the right to defend your property. And you know what I'm saying. If you shoot that officer for busting into your home unannounced without a warrant, or not presenting the warrant properly. You will not be held liable for that. That officer better be executing his job properly, or he is in trouble. He's the one. He's the criminal now. Now, I don't know all the fine print in that particular law. All I know is it doesn't happen in this state. You don't get officers busting into homes without executing a warrant properly. I think it all came about when there was an accidental, they went into the wrong home, busted in, wrong house. And I believe people were gravely injured in the process. And the legislators had the sense enough to know that, you know what, we need to protect the people. We can't just, law enforcement is important and we need to stand behind them, but they need to do their job properly. And if they don't, there needs to be consequences, and the people need to be able to defend themselves from that because there's no recourse from that. Officers come into your home and start shooting. Well, just let them shoot, and then we'll figure it out in court later when you're dead. That's just not going to happen. We can't do that. You're sitting in your home peacefully doing whatever you're doing, and it all of a sudden becomes a war zone. So that's another angle on this whole thing. Now, I believe that they played out all the scenarios. I think that they were hoping that they would get some Trump supporters that would fight back, that would start to attack the Capitol again, that would incite another January 6th event. And if it doesn't happen, well, we'll just come up with some kind of a weird thing where some guy comes into the visitor center and we chase. But they never. I don't know that they've ever found the guy. I don't know if the guy ever got captured. This rogue person who supposedly exists out there. Let's just do a search here. FBI, Federal Bureau of Intimidation, Cincinnati. Yeah, let's just put that in there. S-I-N. Cincinnati, how they spell that crazy attack? Cincinnati attack. Let's just see what we find here. Gunman who allegedly tried to break into Cincinnati FBI office is suspected extremist. Officials say. We'll go Ricky Schiffer, who authorities say tried to enter the FBI Cincinnati, an armed suspect who tried to enter the FBI's office. Is dead after a standoff with authorities, officials say, by Joshua. So we will never know now exactly what's going on with this. Standoff ends after armed man allegedly tried to break into Cincinnati. Armed man who tried to breach, killed after 6 hours. Police shoot dead armed man who's true tried to breach the Ohio FBI field office. Okay, this kind of thing happens. Whether it's a coincidence that he was doing it out of retribution, but he's an extremist. He's an extremist, which obviously he's a wacko. The guy's insane. What are you gonna accomplish? Gonna go in there and shoot up FBI? What's that gonna accomplish? Stop. Just take a step back here and think about what you're doing. I've heard people say that. Well, I think we could probably execute a. I think it would actually end okay if we had a civil war. I think it would go okay. Are you kidding me? It wouldn't last that long. What do you mean it wouldn't last that long? I don't think they have any idea what they're up against. This, you can't just willy-nilly decide to do that one day. Now, this guy was just decided, he's going to be a one-man Rambo. Right now, we are in an informational war. That is where the battlefield is right now. That's why I do this show. Trying to raise public awareness and get people to think a little bit about what they're doing. The left is exceptionally good at emotionally motivating their people. This guy on the street that was being asked about President Trump's many provable crimes. When you actually ask them, what are those provable crimes? Well, I don't want to talk to you. Because that when they're held to account to these things that they're saying, they can't actually tell us exactly what these provable crimes are. We have provable crimes on video of a president's son. We have emails that are verifiably his emails talking about his business dealings that he did on Air Force Two when his daddy was the VP and they went to different countries and he did business with him and they're on the plane and they're talking about business dealings. But Joe Biden said, I never talked about my son with his business dealings. I never talked to him about business dealings. He's the smartest guy I know. Now, I always hear this quote. Well, they had 51 former intelligence agents signed off and said that this was Russian disinformation. No, they said it has all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. That's a lawyer statement there, folks. They never said it was Russian disinformation. They said it has all the earmarks. Let me tell you who's an expert on earmarks of Russian disinformation. The intelligence agencies. The intelligence agencies, I can't remember how many years ago this was. I think it's been almost 20 years ago. They came out, and they had been doing this long before they said they knew how to do it. But it came out that they could send an email and make it look like it came from Russia. They had that in their pocket for a long time ago. So if they were admitting it then, you knew that they were doing it before that. These are the experts on making something look like Russian disinformation. Now, you can't even go there with this stupid laptop thing. It has actual pictures of Hunter doing things, actual emails describing what they were doing to a T. In a way, the Russians would have had no idea what he was doing on those days he was doing those things. The details would have been impossible, and they're verifiable details that the Russians couldn't have made this stuff up. The emails are genuine, and this lack of candor lying that they continue to do, that the mainstream media goes right along with, and they wonder why we don't trust them. This is the kind of stuff that continues to happen. Now, I'm going to take a look, because it's Friday and we're heading into the weekend here, I'm going to take a quick look at my YouTube feed, and we're going to take a little look at Reliable News Now headlines and see what's happening here right now. So the subscriptions. Let's see what we got here. Raid is not the right word now. They're going after the word raid. I guess Gutfeld made a statement about that. I can't use the word raid. The UK is having a drought. Of course, it's all because of global warming. They've never had a drought there before. This is the first time ever in the history of humankind that we've ever had a drought in the UK. Maybe not. We have the CEO of Whole Foods is deeply concerned about the socialist takeover. Excuse me. Little too late there, kind of. But dude, I don't know where you been. You were part of this whole thing. Now, remember what I was saying about how desperate people do desperate things. Coming up on an election, and they have no intent of losing. Sky News Australia. Oh, this is the... So Schumer goes around, shakes the president's hand, some other guy's hand, Pelosi's hand, and somebody else that's standing there. And then Joe reaches his hand out again when he comes back around, and he's kind of... Now, I think this may be... This is very... It's very possible that Joe has a... He has a tendency to not know what his hands are doing. I have a feeling, you know, he sticks his hand out to... like he's going to shake someone's hand. And I think he... I think the problem here is Schumer didn't really shake his hand the first time. He kind of just kind of slapped it. He didn't really shake it that well. And I think Joe was expecting a real handshake, and he came back around and he kind of had his hand out again. Now, Joe will point with his hand sometimes. It makes it look like he's trying to shake somebody's hand. He points with his hand a lot of times. And I think the people on the right accuse him. Well, he's trying to shake hands with everybody. People aren't there. I don't know about that. That's just the way Joe is, I think. But he has weird mannerisms in that respect. And that is actually he never used to do that. That is actually a sign of decline. That's another thing that they'll do. They'll do weird stuff like that. Let's see what else we got going on here. Miranda Devine, of course, she's been on, I think she actually wrote The Laptop from Hell or whatever she wrote. She wrote some kind of book, I believe, about Hunter's laptop. French diver, free diver, breaks deep dive world record. I'll tell you how you can do that. You can once and for all, you can break the record and hold it forever. What you do is you tie a brick around your head, and you dive off in the deepest part of the ocean, and you just keep on going. And then what they do is they put a little tag on your toe that says, I'm the world record holder. That is, you're down there. You won't come back, but nobody's ever going to beat you again. Unless somebody has a heavier weight that can sink further down into the mud at the bottom. I don't know. That's possible, I guess. There's all kinds of things here going on. Let's see what else we got here. That's kind of a whole smattering of a whole bunch of other things. Not talking about inflation again all of a sudden. Of course, passed that bill, so now inflation's gone. In fact, Joe Biden came out and announced inflation is at zero. No, inflation's still over 8%. It didn't increase in the last month, supposedly. Now, it did, but they play with those numbers. It did actually go up. But they kept it at 8%. Inflation is zero. I guess 8% is zero now. And it's not a recession because we redefined that. A lot of other factors involved. And now inflation is zero. If it stays at a constant rate, inflation is zero. I guess if inflation goes down to 7%, now we have deflation now. This is the way these people think. Kind of like what they do with the budget. Well, this is a balanced budget. We did deficit. We reduced the deficit. No, you reduced the deficit in future spending is what you did. You're still overspending. We were going to spend $400 billion, but now we decided to spend $399 billion over what we are taking in. We're going to increase the debt by $400 billion, and we decided to only increase the debt by $399 billion, so therefore we've reduced the debt. We've reduced the deficit on future spending. That's how they do this kind of stuff all the time, but they fool you into thinking, oh, we're reducing the debt. No, that's not what's happening at all. What else we have here going on? Zelensky. Basically, they're going to have to concede some parts of Ukraine. There's no way they can. I don't see any way that they're going to boot the Russians completely back out again. They're not going to leave. They've spilled too much blood there already. So we have all that going on, and there's really of course, they're talking about the IRS again. Of course, these IRS agents that they're talking about hiring, these 87,000, one of the things that's in the job description is that you are willing to carry a gun. This is forcible. The IRS has never had this authority. In fact, they don't have this authority under the code, statute code. They are implying this. And this is what you call weaponizing the IRS. Now, imagine if they were the only ones who had the guns. This would be over right now. It'd be over in a week. They would simply just take the whole thing and it would be done. They're still concerned about, you know, they want to, it's kind of like I tell people, you know, I trained in martial arts for a while. I've done a lot of stuff like that. And I'm not invincible. Now, it's not like the movies where you can't be killed. But what I can guarantee you is it's probably going to hurt. I'm going to leave a mark. You might be able to kill me, but it's going to leave a mark. You're not going to forget it when you look in the mirror. If I can have anything to do with it. Because that's, you know, if my life is threatened, guess what? It's not going to be an MMA. The MMA still has rules. When my life is involved, there's no rules. It's going to turn really ugly really fast. And we're not going to be rolling on the floor wrestling. That's not what's going to happen there. Just saying. That took a weird turn there, didn't it? We got Sean Hannity. We're finally immersed in another. So what's happening here? Now, the other side of this too is that you have to understand. This is galvanizing the GOP to defend Trump now. And all of a sudden, Fox News is talking about Trump all the time now again. And they've got everybody from the family and all the lawyers on because that's what's in the news. Let's talk about this now. They haven't had Trump on, but everybody else is on. A really good comment yesterday. I can't remember who was talking about this. Might have been Mr. Reagan. Chris, what's his name? Not important. It's the Mr. Reagan channel on YouTube. If Trump actually believes that the election was stolen, if he believes he won, he's not lying when he says the election was stolen. See, the left would have you believe, it's the big lie, it's the big lie. Well, no, it's not a lie. You just disagree with him. I don't think he's wrong, but if he is wrong, he's just wrong. You can disagree with somebody on a point. It doesn't make them a liar. It just means there's a disagreement. One of you is wrong. Doesn't mean you're lying. Unless you know that what you're saying is absolutely untrue. Then it becomes a lie. If you say, I was never in that room with that person, and I say, yes, you were in that room with that person, and you say, you're a liar, I say, no, I'm not a liar. You're the liar. Well, one of us is wrong, and the other one is right. If I show you, and then I pull out a picture and say, here you are in that room with that person. Here's a picture with a time, date, stamp, and everything on it that you were there at that day, at that time. That's pretty good evidence. And I say, here it is. You were there. You were wrong and you're a liar because you know you were there. Well, then the person pulls out a photo forensic expert. And we find out that picture has been photoshopped. Now, all of a sudden, I'm wrong. But I didn't know the picture was photoshopped. So I'm not a liar. I was just wrong. Until we find out that I was the one who did the Photoshop. Now, I'm the liar. You see how this goes? All of a sudden it changes by just depending on what is discovered in terms of evidence. You can believe that the world is flat. If you sincerely believe the world is flat and you have all this evidence that you believe in, that you by faith, believe in, saying that the world is flat is not a lie. It's just, you're just wrong, in my opinion. We can disagree. Doesn't make you a liar. If you know something to not be true, or you make something up out of, like, I've never discussed my son's business dealings. You know you've discussed your son's business dealings. We have evidence and proof that there's, obviously, you've discussed. There's pictures of you with your son's business partners. Hey, Dad, come over here and take a picture with all these people I know. Okay, I don't want to know anything about it. Just going to take a picture. Here I am. Hey, see you later. It doesn't work that way. But that's what we're supposed to believe. That's what they would have you to believe. The left is very good at manipulating the left because they know their emotional content can be very easily manipulated. It's the people on the right who have a tendency to ask the right questions. It's the independents that get swayed back and forth in the midst of all this tug and war stuff. Tug and war? Tug of war. I should look up tug and war. It might be interesting. Well, folks, it is Friday. Shabbat Shalom. Glad you got to listen to my rant here this morning. I appreciate you listening to me because it is really actually very therapeutic for me. So you can send me a bill for a therapy session this morning, and that'll be it. I won't pay it because we didn't have any kind of agreement. But it'd be interesting to see what kind of bill you send me. So we'll play with that. Yeah, I'm not going to pay it. Just let you know right now. It's not going to happen because I don't have any money. I'll give you everything I make from this show today. How about that? Get all the proceeds that come in from this show. That's what you're going to get. Oh, boy, you'll probably retire early on that. Thanks again for listening, folks. Thanks for subscribing, and thanks for passing on the show to other people and sharing and all those kinds of things. Putting up with my opinions. And if you have any other opinions of yourself or you want to make any comments, go ahead and do that. If there's a place on your platform to do that. Once again, folks, thanks for being with me, and have a great weekend. Praying for the country and each other. Take care. God bless.